Just a few weeks ago, we had Membership Sunday, and we had welcome new members into the church. And as a part of that service, I mentioned a little bit about my relationship with the Church of the Nazarene as a youngster, and then later on as somebody who had a call into ministry and what that looked like. And then I also mentioned that first time having to preach in my life and what an experience that was, anxiety-ridden. It was very stressful going through that. And it's hard to think about that being, you know, almost 25 years ago. And it happened when I was a part of Olivet Nazarene University. I had a call to ministry. I was in the ministry program. But at the time, they didn't have any kind of a ministry program at Olivet that actively got students out into churches with an opportunity to preach or use the gifts that God had given them in the calling that they were called to. And so every time we have an ONU ambassador come and join with us, I'm always a little bit jealous. It's like, I wish they would have had that. It would have helped me on my start in the very beginning. But today we have the privilege of having Sebastian coming and joining with us from Olivet Nazarene University as a ministry student. So go ahead and welcome him as he comes.
The verses we'll be looking at this morning are from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 17. And it says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them, and what benefit are they to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of a rich man prevents him no sleep. I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there's nothing left for him. Naked a man came from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs, and what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. And this is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Say amen. Well, good morning, everybody. As you guys heard, my name's Sebastian Avor. I'm an Olivet Nazarene University student. I'm a preaching ambassador. And I am really excited to be here with you guys this morning. Really, it's just always such a blessing and an honor, a privilege even, to get to preach to all the churches that I'm able to go to. So I'm really grateful. And to start things off this morning, I want to tell you guys a little bit about my summer. This summer, I found myself interning at College Church for actually the second summer in a row, which was a great experience. Last summer, I got to be one of the pastoral interns, which was awesome. And this summer, I got the privilege of being the youth intern, which was also amazing. And then on top of being one of the interns, I got to work at two different camps this summer. The first camp was the one that my girlfriend's a program director for. It's called Water's Edge. That was awesome. I got to be a counselor for middle school students, which was an absolute blast and also absolutely exhausting. A bunch of sleep-deprived middle schoolers makes for really interesting conversation at 7 a.m. in the morning. Fast forward a couple months of interning, I got to work at a camp called Everybody's Cares Camp, which Pastor Ryan goes to, or not goes to, but helps out with. It's a camp for those with special needs, and basically you become a caregiver for a week. And that camp was amazing for a whole bunch of different reasons. So in short, I had an amazing summer. It was just an awesome time. Interning, working at camps was all great. I got to have all these experiences that helped shape me and form me over the last 3 months that I really didn't know that I was going to have. But at the end of the summer, as I kind of reminisced, as I thought back on things, it just all kind of seemed to slip by. It seemed like I was here for one moment, and then in the next, just kind of away. And every time I think about how great the summer was, it really feels like it was eternity away, like it was eternity ago. I mean, I can vividly remember thinking about how excited I was for camp to start, and now it seems like it was so long ago. Like it's just a memory at this point. And now a fair question could be, well, what does this have to do with anything? I mean, sure, it might be nice to hear about my summer a little bit, I guess, but I can assume it's not really what you guys expect to hear from a pulpit. So what's the point? Well, the point is that I think amidst all of my excitement about the things that I was going to do this summer, I kind of overlooked everything that was going on in the moment. I think I overlooked everything happening in real time. And if I can be honest, I think I find myself still doing this. I kind of overlook everything that's going on right now. I mean, this summer, it wasn't the first time that it's happened. If I can be honest, I'm kind of still doing this. Really, this happens to me all the time. And I wish that I could say that I've magically stopped dealing with issues since writing a sermon about it, but that would be lying. Whether it's something like getting a package in the mail that I'm really excited for that I just can't seem to live without for some reason, or a response to some important text message, or starting a new job, in Bob's experience, I'm sure you've had a lot of excitement about that. It's just, I'm constantly looking towards the next thing in my life. And like I said, I did that with the summer. Before I had started interning, I was so excited about the job to come, so excited to intern over the summer, that I really just wanted the semester to be over with. And then when I had started interning, I was so excited for camp to come, I wished the days away, and then I wished the days again away when I was hoping for the next camp to come. It's this never-ending cycle that I kind of seem to be trapped in. I mean, I even do this with video games sometimes. I have found myself sometimes buying a game and then buying a completely different one before even finishing the first one because I'm more excited about the prospect of something new rather than just being, you know, happy and content with finishing what I already have and what I already have. I'd be lying to say if I didn't do this, I think it was 2 weeks ago that fall break was. I was so excited about it, and so I just kind of wished school away. Like, yes, this break is going to be so great. And then the break seemed to go away pretty quickly, too. I've come to realize I think I kind of have the superpower to time travel. I'm able to find myself I'm able to find something every day that causes me to live in tomorrow, and therefore, I effortlessly go through my day living in the future. I can only hope that the issue with this is pretty apparent. I mean, if I'm always living in tomorrow, if we're always living in tomorrow, then right now is always getting overlooked. This is talked about in the Bible too. The passage that we read earlier was about this. The idea of not finding joy in our lives because we're so focused on other things like future events that are yet to even come. It's brought up by the character called the teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. He talks about the problem of this kind of thinking because, well, the tomorrow that we live in is never a certainty. And so he refers to this kind of living as hevel. And hevel is this Hebrew word that means vapor or breath. Basically, when he uses this word, he's trying to say that life, it's like this vapor. Things in our life are here for a second, and then in the next, they're gone, and the same goes for us. And because life is like this, the teacher wants to get the point across that what we so desperately need to do is to live in today. And the preacher gives a few different examples of this. In chapter 5 that we just read, the teacher starts to talk about the man who had worked all of his life for this money, and yet he never got the chance to enjoy it, which to us probably sounds crazy because I am sure we've all thought about the hypothetical of, oh, if I just had this much money, or if I just won the lottery, all these amazing things I could do, all the money I could give people to, all the money that I could use for myself and for the things that I want. How could we not be happy with that? We thought about how we'd spend it on all these amazing things, right? And that would make us happy, but in this story, the man is so focused on the idea of getting this money, he never really just sits down and enjoys what he already has. He never sat and stopped and just enjoyed what he had. He always seemed to look for something more. And in the teacher's eyes, this is evil. It's like he said earlier, it's hevel. And in chapter 6, the teacher brings up another example saying, if someone has a plethora of children and lives many years but does not enjoy life, then it would actually have been better for him to have not been born at all than to have not enjoyed the life that he was given. So it looks like you could live for 1,000 years, but according to the teacher, if you don't enjoy what life was given to you, then that also is hevel. The message it looks like the teacher is trying to get across is just to accept one's lot. Basically, to enjoy the life you've been given because it's like this vapor. It seems to be something solid from far away, but then the closer we get to it, we can see that it's not. So that the one thing that we're gripping onto, if the one thing that we're hoping for, that somehow this vapor will become solid, that somehow the next thing will be what's actually going to make us happy, then I think that our life too might become hevel. But if we can accept our lot and enjoy the life that's been given to us, then maybe we can experience something more. The issue here, though, is that it's just not how we tend to function. At least it's not how I tend to function. I think oftentimes we're a people that search for the next thing and go through the never-ending cycle of hoping for the next thing and then never truly enjoying what's here right now. The issue that the teacher was trying to address wasn't that people had a ton of money or lived really long lives or had a ton of kids. It's that they didn't enjoy any of it. They lived for the simple purpose of future gain, never enjoying the things of right now. Which again, I mean, I get it. It's really easy to do all of that. I'm sure all of you have done this with yourself. Probably not in the same way that I have, but maybe, I mean, I don't know. But I can bet for all of you that you have moved at some point in life or maybe gotten a new job that you guys maybe were nervous about but really excited about too. And you were so ready for the moment that you got into the new job or that new living space, that new whatever, that you kind of just let life slip by. And I bet for all of you that have had kids, when you were in a public space and they were throwing a tantrum, you were really excited about the idea of them getting older and stopping. I can bet that when your kids were in the process of being potty trained, you were really excited for them to just be done and potty trained. And none of these are bad by any means. None of these things are bad to hope for. But maybe sometimes it's in those moments in particular that we need to stop and take a step back and understand that while it's good to be excited about the future, tomorrow is still just that, it's tomorrow. And I'm sure when looking back, you have some fond memories about whatever place you had lived in originally, or whatever job you had originally. I doubt most people say their first jobs were their favorite, but I'm sure there are some positive memories affiliated with said place or said thing. And I'm sure those with grown kids now look at your children and maybe you think, I'd do just about anything to have that screaming kid again. Or for you to be the child that I was raising again. This is all to say that you need to not overlook everything going on right now in search of something that hasn't even happened yet. Don't be in such a hurry to close out one chapter of your life just because the next looks so promising. Because that, too, is hevel. It's vapor slipping away. And now I'd be remiss to say that we don't do this in reverse as well sometimes. We can find the right now of life to be boring or maybe even depressing sometimes, depending on what's going on. And so all we can do is look to the past and see how great things were, how good things were back then. Maybe bringing up all the stuff that I just did has you thinking about your kids or your life and all the good times that you've had. But if we then become obsessed with the past, well, then we have the same result, hevel. A Christian writer by the name of Blaise Pascal puts it this way. We never keep to the present. We recall the past, we anticipate the future as if we found it to come naturally too slow, and so then we try to hurry it up. Or we recall the past as if to say it had went away too fast. The fact is the present usually hurts us. So we thrust it out of our sight because it's distressed us, but then if we found it enjoyable, we're really sorry to see it slip away. We try to give it the support of the future and think of ways in which we can arrange events that we do not even have control over for a time that we may never even reach. Let each of us examine our thoughts. They will find them completely concerned with the past or the future. We almost never think of the present. And if we do, it's only to see what light it throws on the plans that we have for the future. So basically, everything we do right now is only for the sake of what's going to come in the future, Pascal is saying. And then he says, so we never actually live, but we only hope to live. And since we're always planning on how we can be happy one day, it is inevitable that we never should be. And I ought to make it clear really quickly that this quote isn't saying that looking towards the future or looking back to the past is inherently bad. I mean, if it were saying that, then we couldn't find hope in the things that God has done for us. We couldn't find hope in the fact that his son's died for us on the cross. But what it is trying to point out is the fact that we often do this in such a way that we forget today even exists. This tends to just cause more anxiety in our lives, and it tends to prove Pascal true that in our search for happiness in tomorrow or yesterday, we end up never getting to experience it in the first place. And I want to make it clear that I think you can do this with really good things as well, like church, for example. I wholeheartedly believe that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in this place, and maybe you guys have felt him today or you felt him before. Maybe there was a different Sunday where his presence was made abundantly clear, and maybe it was at some event or something that wasn't a Sunday. And we might find ourselves now looking back at that day and being sad that we're not experiencing that right now. Or looking so forward to some conference or church on a Sunday in hopes that we will feel that way again. But I think that if we do that, then we forget just how present God is in our lives right now. I mean, God is just as present in our lives as he was at whatever event or moment you guys are thinking of as he is here right now. God is just as present, I think, in our lives when we're brushing our teeth as he is in church. And yet if we're so focused on just getting ready for the next thing, so focused on just hoping for that event, hoping for church to come, well, then of course we're going to miss God in our everyday lives. So maybe then living in tomorrow affects our relationship not only with ourselves and our own happiness, but it affects our relationship with God as well. Our inability to live in the moment affects our entire life. How can we expect to feel God, let alone be used by him, if we're not allowing ourselves to? I mean, our focus on yesterday and tomorrow makes us a people unable to do virtually anything. I know for me, I am someone who struggles with anxiety quite a bit. It's just something I'm kind of learning to deal with. And one thing in particular that I'm learning to deal with is the fact that almost always what's caused me to have anxiety is either an event that has not happened yet, or some sort of hypothetical situation I've made up in my head, or something that has already happened and been done away with. I've become so focused on the future and the past that I'm tormented by my own thoughts right now. The point of what I'm trying to say is that we have to learn to focus on the right now rather than the later, or rather than what's already happened. And there's a quote by this great Kung Fu master, Master Oogway. You guys ever watch Kung Fu Panda? And he says, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And it could be really easy to write this off because it's a fake turtle, but I think he makes a really good point. We can't control tomorrow because tomorrow it's a mystery. We have no idea what's going to happen. We can't control the past. That's history. It's been done. But so rather than wasting our lives on yesterday and today, we have to focus our lives on living for today, because that's the gift we have. We can't control tomorrow, and we can't change the past, so we have to focus on today rather than wasting our lives on tomorrow and yesterday, because the day is the gift. And all of this is to say, I want there to be more for our lives. I want all of us to be able to live a life that proves Pascal wrong. I want us not to live a life wasted. I don't want us to live a life where we miss the amazing things that God has planned for us just because there's something else that we're looking forward to. Or just because yesterday seemed like a better day. Just because the next chapter seems so exciting, let us not waste our lives hoping for it and already living in it when we still have right now to worry about. The teacher in Ecclesiastes says in chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, then I realized it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given him. For this is his lot. And moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and to be happy in his work, because this is a gift from God, he seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. That's the entire point of the sermon. To be able to enjoy the life God has given us today and not be so focused on everything else. Because when we do that, we can live a life of seldom reflecting on the days of our life because God has kept us occupied with gladness in our heart. Don't let tomorrow rob you of the joy that is to be found today in God and what he's doing right now just because something in the future looks so promising, or just because the past felt so good. So enjoy the life, the lot you've been given today, and see God in all the little things we might normally overlook. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes. God, the reminder that was given so many times in the book to accept our lot. That God, so many things in our life can become hevel if we just simply if we simply don't focus on today. Let us, God, not live a life where we're so trying to grasp onto this vapor that's in front of us, God, where we miss everything going on right now. Let tomorrow not be all we're consumed with. Let yesterday not be all we're consumed with. But let us be present right now. Let us live a life, God, where we can see you in every single moment because that's all we're focused on. Let us be focused on you, God. And Lord, allow us to leave this place and not be excited for the things to come, but let us just take a moment and really be where we are right now. Not so focused on tomorrow, but just be present right here so that we might prove Pascal wrong and so that we might not live a life that the teacher talks about, but accept our lot, realizing that we can find gladness in our hearts because we're so focused on you. And we pray, amen.